Welcome to Beauty and the Gi, the podcast about jujitsu and life from the female perspective. I'm Jen Eads, a one-stripe white belt full of curiosity and questions about all things jujitsu.
And I'm AJ Klingerman, a Brazilian jujitsu purple belt, and I run the Role Model Women's Only Grappling Camp.
Speaking of Role Model Women's Only Grappling Camp, AJ, gosh, that was a good transition, wasn't it?
Nice
that
job.
Was smooth. It's like we're getting this podcast thing down. Why don't you tell us what this episode's about and who we might be hearing from?
Yeah, so we're interviewing an instructor for camp. This is Hannette Stack, and Hannette is amazing. I'll let her tell you a little bit more about her credentials. You know, I don't want to spoil it for you, but very high level female black belt, runs a school up in Chicago. Yeah, I'm very excited to have her. And she actually ran some camps with Emily Kwok before, which is kind of, you know, we had Emily at the last camp and I was like, oh, we should bring out Hannette for the next one.
Right.
For sure. So that camp is May 1st through the 3rd, 2020. And registration is already open. There are a few different options as far as payment goes. So you can actually just do a down payment right now if you can't afford to pay for all of it. And that holds your spot because we will sell out. So that will hold your spot. And then the remaining of your balance isn't due until April 1st. By April 1st. You can pay before then, but but by April 1st, you can register your child as well. We are doing a next generation track for girls ages 8 to 14. So you can register your child by herself or in addition to you.
Do they have to be training already? Or
they don't have to be, but it probably would help.
Okay.
Right? Women, it's easier to start at camp. I mean, it's still hard. It's not easy to start at camp, but you can. Kids starting at camp, it's probably a little bit much.
Okay.
So, but yeah, that's a good question. But yeah, so you can register a child, you can register yourself, you can register the two of you together. And then if you do go ahead and pay in full, then you will get a Role Model Rash Guard 2020. Yeah.
Oh.
So
that's exciting.
To, yeah. Entice you to go ahead and pay in full. You'll get a free rash guard at camp.
Sweet. Because I'm running out.
Rash guards are the one thing you always need more of.
Right.
Like it's easy to have a ton of rash guards. Like geese take up a lot of space, you know, like, I mean, not that I don't have a ton of geese, but you know, I always want more rash guards. So yeah.
I'm motivated.
And we're going to do a little bit different one though. The ones in 2019 were a little slender. They were a little slender for a big girl like me. So we're going to do the more like co-ed style. I really, really like these rash guards that we've chosen. So
yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Get the rash guard, friend.
Yes. And you can register at thefighthub.com. And I believe we'll have a link to that in the show notes.
As always.
Of course. Okay. So let's hear from Hannette.
I am Hannette. been training jiu-jitsu since 1998. That's when I started. 1997, actually, when I started in end of 1997. And since then, fell in love with jiu-jitsu. A friend of mine took me to one class, and I always liked sports. So I decided to continue. And since then, just been practicing, teaching all over the world, competing, and jiu-jitsu took me very far. I could never imagine going so far in my life, and jiu-jitsu really took me that far.
That's awesome. So you said that you got into it to begin with because a friend brought you to class?
Yes. A friend of mine, I used to rock climb, and he's like, oh, you have a good grip. You should should try jiu-jitsu. And he took me to one class, and I saw this little guy really going good against someone bigger. And it was really interesting, the art and the way someone smaller could control someone bigger. So I really fell in love with jiu-jitsu for the first time.
That's awesome. How long did you wait before you started competing? Or between starting and competing?
My first competition was in 1998, so couple months, 4 months.
Good. I'm always trying to get everyone to compete, so I like to I like to know. you have had some pretty big wins in your jiu-jitsu career. If you want to tell everybody a little bit about that.
I started, that was like a, it was like a little different. We had to kind of like establish ourselves in the academy first and then go to the competition. But the tournaments, I think the most important ones, the world championship, so 7 times world championship, 3 times the ADCC, Brazilian national a couple times, 3 times, and some local tournaments, some matchups, fight to win recently.
Nice,
and,
that's awesome.
Just like I tried the worlds again, so it was a good experience overall.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you run a school in Chicago, is that correct?
Yes, I run a school. I have a partner. We have 2 schools here in the Chicago area, one in the city, one in the city nearby. And he runs more the other school, and in the mornings he's like with me on this location in Chicago. So I'm more in the Chicago location.
Nice. How long have you had the school?
So we started here. We came to Chicago in 2007. And since then, we started working with jiu-jitsu, but we started Brazil 21 2009. That's when we started our own school, our own brand, let's put it this way. But we have been teaching before longer than that. That's why here, I would say, since 2009, that's when we started. So 10 years this year.
Nice. Mm-hmm. How much do you feel like it affected your like competing and your ability to train also running a school?
It's challenging because you have like other responsibilities and you have your students. So you want to dedicate your time for the students as well. So sometimes you have to sacrifice your own time for training. So if you're thinking about going to a bigger competition, you have to focus more on yourself versus giving to your students. So in certain point of my career, I had to face this situation. And of course, I would say my career took a toll a little bit, but you have to choose the direction you go, right? So you go with the best for your life, I think.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. I, my husband and I have owned our school since 2000, and I really didn't get actively into competing until probably 2014. So mm-hmm. I kind of went the opposite direction, you know. So I've just been actively competing the last probably 5 years, but it's still very hard to, you know, coach and do this school stuff and train to compete.
Yeah. It is very challenging. You know, you have your students, and as once your students, also I have like students from white belt to black belt, so they compete in the higher level as well. So it's hard to just take time for yourself and not allowing them to have this experience to try go to the big tournaments as well. So even though you can train with them as well, but when you train for a big competition, you really focus on yourself, and you have to be a little more selfish.
Yeah.
It's not like a selfish in a bad way, but you have to be like, you have to look more for you.
Yeah. I try to tell the girls, I'm like, I'm not mad at you, but if you're going to roll with me, yeah.
Yeah. Bring the training to your direction.
Yeah. Is there anything that you really enjoy teaching?
I really enjoy teaching everything, actually. Yes. But of course, I think you go always with the direction you like to do. I like this mm-hmm. position. I think it's effective. So I think that's how you start developing your teaching style or teaching methodology. But I don't have something I maybe like the positions I like to go to. So mount position is a position I go to. So I like some position from the mount, like the concept of the position. I think there's a lot when you get to the level of teaching, from beginners to black belt. It's kind of interesting how you have to think about the position more. It's like a more complex, like to explain, yeah. And you go into the details. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very nice.
But I think like the details, like what like I like the most about jiu-jitsu. So in each position.
You've taught at women's camps before.
Yes.
Will you tell us a little bit about the past camps you've done?
Yeah, we started doing camps, I think in 2012. It was my first camp with Emily and Val. Mm-hmm. It was a great experience. From the beginning, it was something I wanted to do. I want to work with the women because in Brazil, when I started jiu-jitsu, there was not many women training. Sometimes the women that will go to the academy, they were like kind of like a flirting with the students, so they didn't want to go for jiu-jitsu. So until you can get women training, like a good group of women training, took like a long time for me.
Yeah.
So when I saw like the idea of having a women's camp, that's what brought me into the camps. And we have like a great relationship, me, Emily, Val. So we have like a great relationship. So it was always easy to run the camps together.
Yeah, that's good. We loved Emily. We had her at our last camp, and she was just great. So I'm very excited to have you out. So she talked very highly of you. So do you have a favorite memory from jiu-jitsu?
I have like a couple favorite memories in jiu-jitsu.
Okay.
But I think like my most memorable, I would say my became my trademark or my move when I moved to United States, because I used to use the same movement in Brazil, but when I move, I submit the finals of the ADCC with the flying armbar.
Nice.
So I think that's my, in competition, of course, but I have like other teaching times that were very good too. But I think that for the competition, that was my most good memory.
That's awesome. What would you say is like the biggest hurdle that you've had to overcome?
Injuries.
Injuries, and yes.
Those are the worst. Yeah. Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
But I had to deal with a torn ACL since 2005. So it kind of like changed a little bit my career. Mm-hmm. And when I hurt my ACL, it was completely torn, and I didn't want to have surgery because at the time in 2005 in Brazil, we'll take about 2 years to recover. Oof. So I decided to go to physical therapy. At the time, the doctor said, your leg is strong, so if you do physical therapy, you know, it might work, but you can try. So I decided not to have the surgery just because of the time. And I was like competing, it was like my prime of the competition. So those are the sacrifices you make sometimes. But everything was good for 10 years. And then after 10 years, I had to finally have the surgery for. But at the time, it's interesting because you can always take something something bad and turn into something good. Because at the time, I hurt my knee. I used to play on top a lot. So take down, stay on top, pass, mount. And then when I hurt my knee, I could not. I was limited on the takedowns. Because that's how I hurt my knee, actually. I was trying to do a uchimata takedown, and my foot got stuck on the ground when I rotate. Then I popped my knee. So, but was good. The good part is I could change my game because I started playing on the bottom more. So I developed a good half-guard game because of the knee injury. And was a good transition to become a more overall, a complete, well-rounded athlete or practitioner in jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, that's very cool. I always say that if we're willing to, the injuries tend to make us better at jiu-jitsu because we have to think more and we have to work through the issues. So
we have to adapt for sure.
I actually dislocated my shoulder doing yoga a couple of years ago.
Oh wow!
And it's dumb.
We'll never think about like a yoga video.
Right? Exactly. It's here like we get
people say, "Oh, in jiu-jitsu," it's like no, yeah.
nope. Yeah, I was just doing great in my training and trying to do recovery and dislocated my own shoulder a week before Masters World. So,
oh, wow.
But, you know, like then I trained for several weeks just kind of holding on to my opposite side lapel and not using that arm at all. And it made me have to move better.
So, that's good. You see?
Yeah.
Yeah. We can always turn something, take something good from some bad experience.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. So we tend to try and give our audience, our listeners, our gang, an on the mat tip or an off the mat tip. Do you have either one of those that you'd like to offer?
I would say to persist first, because jiu-jitsu and in life, everything is it's a process of continuing and being patient, because yeah. sometimes you want to do like more than we can, or I think everybody has their own time and you have to go in your own journey. Cannot compare yourself to the others. So, but it's a hard sport. I mean, like a hard, not in the way, if you want to compete, of course, everything you want to do, like in a high level, your body will take a little bit of a toll. But what I mean is, jiu-jitsu is very, very interesting sport because he can integrate many people. Wherever you go, you have jiu-jitsu, you go to a school, you'll be welcome. So you're able to meet people. So I think it's a very, very interesting sport in this way, because you can, it's almost like, for me, it's almost like a spiritual. Yeah. It might sound a little weird, but I think it is, because you connect with so many people and you're very close to the person. You know, like you have to trust the other person to roll and to exchange. But to continue, never give up, you know, and respect your own time, but to persist, yeah. right? Because the easy thing is like when it gets hard, you know, maybe I will. And sometimes if you have to take a little time, but I think there's a meaning why you started doing jiu-jitsu. It's a great community.
Do you think typically the reason that people start changes, you know, like the reason you start jiu-jitsu isn't necessarily the reason you continue doing it?
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting to see how that changes for people a lot of times.
Yeah.
You know, you think you come in wanting one thing and then, you know, a year exactly. or so down the road, it's completely different.
Yes. And like in life, everything changes and you have to sometimes find a balance, and sometimes you have to disconnect and then reconnect for some people too.
What is something that people would be surprised to learn about you?
That I like heavy metal.
Nice. Nice. Who's your favorite band?
Oh, I like Metallica, but I like it some in Brazil too. I used to like hear to Sepultura in Brazil, which is like a Brazilian band. And then they nice. Become a little bad, but yeah.
That's awesome. We my husband and I just got tickets for Tool in Indianapolis. So
oh, nice.
We're pretty excited.
Riot Fest in Chicago here, but because I was in Richmond, but it was good. The experience in Richmond was great too. But I was nice. Like, oh man, if I was here.
You're like, oh, okay. That's awesome. Any other last thoughts?
Just like I would like to thank you guys for again, for the opportunity. And I could just share a little bit of my story and just connect. It's a great thing. So thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome. And yeah. we look forward to having you at camp. This will be our 7th women's only camp. And definitely our best so far.
Nice.
It's going to be amazing. We've got some really cool things planned that we'll be announcing and rolling out. We've already opened up registration. And have.
So what's the date you're thinking?
It's May 1st through the 3rd.
May 1st to the 3rd. Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. I'm very excited about all the things that I have planned for it.
Yeah, me too. And for the first time.
Yeah.
I'm working with you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be great. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you very much for taking some time to talk with us today. And
thank you.
Also, where can people find you to connect with you?
So people can find me on Instagram, Hanette Stack, double N, double T, and double A on the stack. So I'm
nice.
Triple double.
I like it.
Trouble. Oh my goodness. Yes, Instagram. It's like my main social media. I'm trying to like, I'm not going to my Facebook as much. I still have, but I don't go as much because very hard to keep everything.
Yeah.
So Instagram is the easiest way to find. And if you come to Chicago, my school here in Chicago, West Town Chicago, so very easy to find, Brazil OT1 School of Jiu-Jitsu here in Chicago.
Nice. And do you welcome guests to come in and train?
Always. Well, always. Awesome. We always have guests, and I love like visitors.
Awesome. Great.
Cool.
Very cool. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. looking forward to the next time. Yes.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Just to wrap up, her basically on the mat and off the mat tip was mostly in regards to persistence. Mm-hmm. So just kind of being persistent, not giving up, don't quit, that kind of stuff. So
especially not before camp.
Right? Yeah. You don't want to quit before camp. No. Honestly, it's funny because I have a lot of women that will kind of be burn out a little bit or maybe halfway out the door and someone will be like, let's go to camp. And then they come to camp and they're like, I just fell in love with jujitsu all over again.
Yeah.
Like I hear it so many times at camp. Come fall in love with jujitsu all over again.
We'll see you at camp.
Yeah.
May 1st through 3rd.
Yes. Okay. So where can they connect with us?
They can find us on Instagram at Beauty and the Gi Podcast. Mm-hmm. We are on the Twitter at Beauty and the Gi and Facebook.
We have a Facebook group now. We do. We have a group and a page now.
We do.
So you could like us and you could join our group.
Yeah. So you can like us at Beauty and the Gi mm-hmm. Podcast.
Yep.
And you can join the Beauty and the Gi Gang on Facebook, the Facebook group. And we will continue conversations that start in the podcast over on the group page.
Yeah, absolutely. So basically, we're everywhere you want to be.
Truly. And then probably some places you might not. You never know. You never know where we're hanging out. You
never know where you'll find us.
But you know where they will see us?
At camp.
And?
And?
On the mat.
I was like, I can't. Oh, wait, yeah. Maybe that was your good transition. We need like some pre-podcast, like fire up music each time.
I think we do.
I don't know what that song is, but
I don't know. It might be Lizzo. Because I listened
to Lizzo
all the way home Saturday.
Okay.
Yes.
I need to get to know some Lizzo.
You do.
I don't really know any.
Yeah.
And
because slow songs are for skinny. So.